Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 39. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We're in Psalm 39 this morning, and as you go there, I just want to say this is a passage that is really quite a bit connected to a couple of other psalms you're familiar with, perhaps Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. Those are psalms of David as he was recovering from his great faux pas, his great sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. And what we're finding as we come to this psalm is it's going to be a little bit more serious in tenor because it's dealing with some very deep things. Things that are hard for us to get our minds around sometimes. Why God does things the way He does is a question that would be begged here. And David is working that through. And so being that it's Psalm 39, the Bible says it's to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. So we know it's David's psalm. When we read the content of it, we have no question about what he's dealing with. But the thing to take away in the title is it's to Jeduthun, and his name means praising, which means that he's taken a very somber, serious look at some situations, and he's put the words that he has come up with in the hands of somebody that he anticipates can maybe give it some buoyancy. You know, the thing about a Christian in Christian walk is that we might sometimes cry when we're happy. We might sometimes laugh when we're sad. We can sit at the graveside of our departed, knowing where they are, and being comforted as we are grieving. It is life really fraught with contrasts and apparent contradictions. But they're not contradictions. God is our all in all. He has everything under control. And we know He makes no mistake, but we don't know that until we know that. Many times as a believer, you have to go through some very deep, dark waters in order to find who God is in His genuine declaration of Himself. He draws near, He stays near, and He never leaves us. David found that out. He was the first one to actually find it out with such clarity. With the declarations that he had, they were phenomenal. Having come through a study in 1 Chronicles and into 2 Chronicles, we've seen David and we've seen how he had dealt with the sin that he had undertaken with Bathsheba and Uriah. We saw how God put away his sin, and we saw that in fact David, even though his sin was put away, he was having a real hard time forgiving himself. He uses the word depression and grief and sorrow afterwards because they were an everyday occurrence. Paul was aware of that very same emotion. He talked about the fact that he was in great straits, just desiring to die. I mean, we see it happening to Elijah. He says, you know, I'm done. Just take my life. I can't do this anymore. And life can be very, very hard like that. Well, it's sometimes hard because of things outside of us, and sometimes it's hard because of things inside of us. But the fact is that man's days are few and full of sorrows as the spark flies upward. And so when we read this, I want you to get your mind around what we're looking at. We're looking at David limping. We're looking at David struggling. And what I want to suggest to you as we read the first five verses, we won't read them all at once, but I want you to know the first five verses are what he gives us before he says the word Selah. Selah means think about what I've said thus far because this is serious business or this is important to my point in writing what I'm writing for you. And as he gives us these first five verses, what we get is we get a tour into the heart of this man who is called a man after God's own heart. This is the musings of David. And he uses that word in verse 3. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. Okay? So I take my touchstone from that, the first five verses. The Bible says, David speaking, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Now, it could be the wicked people or it could be the wicked circumstance, because all would be true. But all of it is there and it's steadfast. You and I are living in a generation where we struggle with what we see that is happening to our countries, happening in our neighborhoods, happening in the cities that we have once desired to go see just because they were novel, but now really don't want to go anywhere near them. What I'm saying to you is that the world is oppressive to the saint. It is a difficult place to live. The Bible says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that is not because he chooses to hate it at first. It's because he comes to hate it at length. Okay? Because we understand that this world is no friend of grace. It is not for us. It is an enemy of grace. And therefore, it is antagonistic to our faith and our efforts to try to please the God who created this entire universe. The Bible says, I said I will take heed to my ways. The interesting thing about the word ways is it means to my manner. He's really conscious now because he's wounded. Yes, he's been forgiven, but can he forgive himself? Now, guys, there's going to be times in your life where you're going to have to come to terms with this if you're going to live for Jesus. Now, sad to say, I've found it in my own experience where I've found myself on the side of the road and feeling like a slug, like, what good am I doing? What good am I accomplishing? How is this going to work out? Or just not really wanting to get up and go anymore. You know, it's just tough because life can be long and tedious. But nothing like this. What David is dealing with is something so deep and so profound that what we begin to see out of the gate is that David, this man after God's own heart, who we lauded as our champion, he was the one who took down Goliath. He was the one who was anointed king as a boy because God looked upon the heart and saw something in him. He was the man who did great exploits. He was the man who refrained his sword from his enemy Saul while he's being chased throughout the hills and the byways of Israel. And what I'm saying to you is that this is a man who really navigated so well that we just really get a little smile in the corner of our mouths when we think of him, typically, until we read more of the Bible and realize this is a man who had to go through something that we have a hard time even coming to terms with. Because once everything calmed down in his life and Saul had been taken by the Lord into eternity and now David is seated on the throne and he goes and he goes and he goes and he does exploits. Finally, he sends and he sends and he sends and he gets in trouble with a woman. And we begin to realize that this shows you one thing you all need to know is that there is sin in every heart of man. In fact, if you look down in the passage, look what he says in verse 5. He uses these two words, every man. Verse 6, he uses the word every man. Verse 11, every man. And what we have to do in our own hearts is realize that we're no better than any other man. That we need to walk humbly with our God. That we need to recognize that all of us are born in sin, shapen in iniquity, in sin that our mothers conceive us. We all have the potential for great sin. And the problem is that sometimes because we live in our country, when we sin, it pains us, but we don't live in quietude long enough to let it really have its cleansing work because God knows the end from the beginning. Somebody asked Dr. Ironside one time, you know, God forgives our sin, but what about my future sin? He said, Madam, how many of your sins were future when Jesus died? Okay, he took care of them all. And so he knows who you are, and when you do come to a place where you fall down, you got to remember who you are. You're one of the everyman in the Bible. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? So if you think too highly of yourself, it's going to hit you harder when you do fall. But the fact is that you should have yourself equipped. And he says, I said, I will take heed to my manner. Something in me let me be open to a great fall. Something in me made it such that I became a real problem in what? In the economy of God. And I never wanted that. That's the last thing I ever wanted to happen. I said, I will take heed to my manner or to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that I can venture out and say that for the most of us, that when we get really really in pangs or discouragement, we tend to say things we don't mean. We might tend to speak out of turn and say the wrong thing. In fact, some marriages have been wounded from the very beginning because people get married sometimes and they say things early on that can really cast a die in the spirit of that marriage. And somehow they have to go back there and figure it out and get that thing unwound, okay? That bell unrung, if you will. But the fact is that what he wants to do is he wants to make sure I'm not going to say anything right now because I'm hurting. The wickedness around me and in me is prevalent. And I just want to make sure that I take heed to my ways and that I sin not with my tongue. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're really struggling, you might say things you might regret. And we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to say things in front of God that we would be ashamed of. And by the way, it's a very interesting verse. You might write this down in the margin here because it's just talking about watching what you say. But here's a verse that I find very instructive. It's in Proverbs 17:28. It says, "Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise." Isn't that interesting? And the Bible goes on to say in that verse, "And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." David knew that he didn't want to speak out of place. He didn't want to do that which would be offensive to God or bring any kind of disrepute to God. When things go hard and when things go wrong and when things go sideways, we tend to look up and say, "Why, God?" In reality, it isn't the thing to say at that point. It's more to be quiet and ponder and think. You may remember that when Job went through his disastrous occurrence with his family and then his skin being touched by the devil, that he sat down and didn't say anything for 7 days. Just sat there for 7 days in silence, and his friend sat there with him in silence. And finally, after that length of time, he finally said some things, and the men listened until they didn't. But while they were quiet, everything was good, and when he was saying what he was feeling, he was saying words that he calls words as just nonsensical wind. I'm just trying to work it out. And that's where David is. He's in his musing mode, and the Bible says, "I want to take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep guard," literally, "guard my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." Now, again, this wicked can be either personified as the circumstance that he's in because it is a very deep evil that is plaguing him. There were times when people would get melancholy in the scriptures. You find, of course, Saul got it kind of often because of the word that had been spoken over his life. You know, "You're not going to be able to keep the kingdom very long. You've not obeyed. You've done the wrong thing with Amalek. You know, you've offered your own sacrifice." These things were all kind of weighing on him. Now, guys, listen, if you'd only know a little bit of scripture, you can fall into a Saul-like discouragement. What I'm going to show you in this passage is it starts with David's musings and it leads to David's moorings. If you have no moorings when sin hits you, you might be down for the count for quite some time. And so that's what we're going to be wanting to take away when we walk away from this. But this wicked that is before him, you know, the Bible talks about Lot, who vexed his righteous soul as he beheld the wickedness of those around him, right? We know that the outside things can vex us. And they ought to vex us, by the way. Sometimes taking a moment and just being real quiet and praying for folks that are a mess. We have a guy we run into periodically that we see, and Linda got his name, and she now prays for him because he doesn't know he's a boy. And because he still is redeemable, because God can save. Nothing is too hard for our God.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.